This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 157 of bookcareers.com live. This episode is entitled Pilfering from a Publisher, and thank you to Lynn Strutt of Twitter for the title suggestion. Firstly though, if you are a recruitment or training manager, a diversity manager or anyone involved in recruitment and retention of staff, the full report of our Book Careers Salary Survey is now available. What you see published online is a fraction of the analysis and data. The full report is over 150 pages long, with approximately 200 tables looking at everything in detail, from the education level of respondents, where they found their job, the commute, whether they were furloughed, digital publishing versus salary, sector versus salary, for example, previous occupations, unions, hours worked, overtimes, other salaries, benefits, prospects. The contents list alone is 5 pages long, and this is unique data you won't find anywhere else. And now, because we've been doing a salary survey for 25 years, there is an awful lot of retrospective data and an awful lot you can see about employment trends and salary trends within the industry. To purchase a copy, just send an email to me at suzanne@bookcareers.com and I will be in touch. Now, unless you've been hiding under a stone this week, you cannot have failed to notice one of the biggest news stories to hit publishing, that of an employee allegedly obtaining unpublished manuscripts. Now, I'm not going to comment on that case because, thankfully, we live in the free world where we are presumed innocent until found guilty, and usually that is a jury made up of 12 people, good and true. Until then, I will decline to comment on that particular case. However, pilfering from a publisher is something that I am all too aware of because I've either witnessed it from colleagues or had to deal with some of the fallout via clients. And it almost follows on from the results of the salary survey that you may feel aggrieved at your salary or that the way you think you are treated in the office, or you feel out of pocket, you might think, well, okay, I'm only balancing the payments and I'm borrowing and taking whatever you feel might be your due. This could be in the form of free books, which you may not have the authority to take, or a stapler from a desk, also some of this petty pilfering of office stationery is probably at a minimum now, so many people are working from home. But always be clear about what it is you are taking. Be over and above board about it, because anything like this, books, staplers, stationery, can be classed as theft. Theft is gross misconduct, and in nearly all cases, gross misconduct is instant dismissal. No first warning, no final warning, just pack your bag and leave. And sadly, I have seen so many good people, for one reason or another, behave inappropriately with company money and stationery, books and many other things. All of these things have a financial cost to the company, and to put it politely, they have shafted themselves and their career path. Most of what I've witnessed is petty pilfering, and I cannot understand why anyone would put their job on the line for a few paperclips. Now, I'm the kind of person who watched the TV programme on Holloway years ago and decided then that prison was not for me. So I am honest and above board on everything. I'm going to give you now some real life examples of people who have lost their job by pilfering from publishers, in the hope that if you want to have a successful career, you will avoid doing these things too. And if by chance you realise you might occasionally do any of this, clean up your act, and from this point forward, behave appropriately. I've mentioned stealing the stapler and other miscellaneous stationery, but in one case in the stationery cupboard were some particular red pens that were only to be used by the managing director. One minute there were four pens in the cupboard, then there was only one. Now, only three people had access to that cupboard, and one lost their job. This might seem disproportionate, but it could be seen, you know, it could be the straw that breaks the camel's back if your employment is already on the line. Another case was fiddling your mileage when you're on a car allowance, especially now when someone can use Google Maps to estimate mileage from location to location. This was far more than a couple of hundred miles, though, more like a few thousand, and they were paid a reasonable sum per mile. So every time they exaggerated their mileage, they were getting an extra £200 from their employer. It cost them their job. Now, I've had mileage allowances reimbursed, and I'm not saying worry about putting in 1 mile more or less. You should be keeping accurate records of your daily mileage if that is part of your job. It is really important that the company reimburses you for the expenses you have accrued. I know when mileage allowance was part of my job, I would have a notebook in the car and I would write down at the start and the end of the day what the mileometer said and then subtract any personal mileage. Also, with expenses, I've seen a colleague fired for falsifying a hotel bill. They faked the receipt, they copied a previous month's receipt and put it in their expenses claim. I think they did this 3 times before a senior manager picked it up. The colleague in question said that they were going to certain places and they weren't. When questioned, their defence was, "Well, you don't pay me enough." Now, listen, no matter how badly you are paid, saying you are not paid enough is not a defence. There is no way out from this situation other than instant dismissal, and I believe the person concerned left the publishing industry. Then we have the case of the accounts clerk borrowing money from petty cash when they were in charge of petty cash. From time to time, the department director approved them taking a small amount from petty cash as an advance on their salary, as they had temporary cash flow issues, even though they were being paid reasonably well for the job at the time. Then they asked again, and the director refused. But they borrowed the money regardless. I can't tell you how upsetting this was for all of us, because mostly you love and trust a colleague. You support them where you can when they're having difficulties. But to have someone responsible for money then take money without permission, the situation is non-negotiable. It costs them their job. This happened at senior level too, only it didn't come to light until the director, yes, it was a company director, was fired for other reasons and then put in a claim for unfair dismissal. As part of the fact finding, to put in a defence against the unfair dismissal claim, several colleagues were spoken to. During this fact finding, one colleague said that they knew this director had taken £300 out of the company bank account as petty cash to use for a personal purchase and didn't repay it for a number of days later. Not a smart move. They'd already lost their job, but then they also lost any hope of any compensation. You can't have a director of a company behaving in such an untrustworthy way. And that is what most of these incidents show. When we are employed, we are all in a position of trust. whether it's trusting us to edit a book correctly, negotiate a contract to the best of our abilities, obtain or place an order without any hint of bribery or corruption, right down to things like not stealing books, stationery, cash, or anything else that you don't have permission to take. So here are some positive things that you can do in order to protect yourself against being accused of pilfering from a publisher. Get any agreement about free books or anything else you are allowed to take for free in writing, then keep your own list away from your computer of what it is you have taken so you are always in control of the log. In some companies, we had to sign out free copies. In others, I could sort through a book, through a box of some damage returns and then load them onto my car. And if there isn't an official procedure, start one. It is always better to be safe on this, even if it is in your contract to receive one copy of every book your company publishes, ensure you keep a log. And if it's stationery, again, especially with working from home, keep a log. If you ever have to handle money, cash, for the company, always make sure there is a paper trail of everything. Even though you are working in cash, although cash is far less of a commodity today than it used to be, by this, I mean when face-to-face events were happening, if you were selling books, most of those book sales were likely to be card payments and few cash payments. But wherever cash is, always, always be open and above board. Now, none of this should be an encouragement to pilfer from a publisher in any way at all. You will get found out. People always do. Now, whatever your problem at work, hopefully it is not pilfering. I spend my days solving career problems for people in publishing. If you've got a career problem that needs solving, my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com.
Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag bookcareers or on Twitter @bookcareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.